Good morning, listeners. You're welcome to this week's Ag Report. I'm Jim Finn. My guests this week are Claire Mooney from Chagas, Michael Flanagan from the FBD National Hall of Fame Awards, and during the week I paid a visit to Mike Harkey National School out there in Pauldine, and I spoke with the principal and I spoke with some of the students out there about farm safety. So my first guest this morning is Claire Mooney from Chagas, and those of you here in Tipperary should know that Claire is in the NINA office. Good morning, Claire, and thanks very much for joining us.
Morning, Jim.
Okay, Claire, we're going to talk about water quality. We seem to be talking about water quality for the last 10 or 15 years, but it isn't that bad, is it?
I suppose it's not great either, Jim, so it's to try and keep it in focus and keep it in people's minds the whole time. That's
right.
What we're trying to do.
Wouldn't you think now the farmers know enough about water this year?
There's enough of it around these days anyway, Jim, but unfortunately it's not going to change with the water quality.
I suppose. Okay, but look at, I know, as I said there, we seem to be talking about water quality for quite some time. You know, have attitudes changed?
Yeah, I think so, Jim. Like, there's definitely a change in attitude. Like, no farmer is getting up in the morning, you know, with the intention of damaging water quality. From what I see on the ground, I think water quality is more to the fore in people's minds. And I suppose we have a lot more resources in terms of, I suppose, be it science and evidence and advisory support available to farmers on the ground. But in order to try and improve it, we need to grasp these opportunities and take what we can to try and get there with water quality.
Okay, and I suppose now we're going into, hopefully, the summer, and there won't be as much of it coming down from over our heads, and water will probably become relatively scarce at some stage during the year. And, of course, quality and less water in the rivers and streams or underground, that will pose a problem if there's, you know, it's easier to pollute during the summer than it is during the winter, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I suppose, like, we're kind of dreading the results that are to come from the EPA after all the rain that we've had over the last probably 6 months at this stage. So, you know, while a drought situation can lead to a quicker impact in terms of a local stream, the downfalls and deluges of rain also have a role to play in water quality, unfortunately.
Yeah, but at least most of those downpours were during a time when farmers were not putting out an awful lot of chemical nitrogen, and that definitely a lot of it was during the close period for slurry.
It was, yes. Yeah. So that's why I suppose it's really important that people obey those closed periods. And I suppose it really highlights the importance of, you know, the likes of your cover crops and that for the tillage crops during that winter period. Yeah. Like you saw yourself there in a lot of drains when real heavy rainfall came, the rivers were brown, and really that was sediment being washed into streams in a lot of cases.
There's nothing new about that. Rivers have been brown since I was a child when we got too much rain anyway. But I don't think we can solve all the sediment problems, but we'll be able to solve the chemicals going in at least. Where are we at with ASOPs at the moment?
Okay, so I suppose ASOP is still continuing. It's scheduled to continue until the end of 2027. It's going very well at the minute. We've been very busy in terms of getting referrals back from LawPro, and I suppose we also have the Water EIP that's launched. So at least we have, you know, some funds there for the farmers to put in mitigation actions to try and improve water quality in a catchment. So, yeah, we're still busy out anyway, Jim.
And are there many people in ASOPs, as you call it? I say ASOPs, but anyway. Are there many farmers in the scheme, Claire?
So as of yet, I suppose the EIP is only open a couple of weeks, but there are applications going in, you know, to that. In terms of the number of farmers in catchments, we're up just under 10,000 now at this stage across the country.
Right, okay. Will you explain to my listeners then the EIP that has just opened and what way they can access any money that's available to them to do remedial work?
Yeah, so I suppose there's 50 million there available to farmers over the next 5 years, and it covers a variety of different measures. So in some catchments, it could be that there's an awful lot of drinking points on the stream. So the farmer would be paid in that situation to put in an alternative drinking supply. So it could be a solar power drinker and fence off the drains. You know, you might have other situations where farmers are just not utilising a wet corner of a field, and they will actually be paid to continue that particular practice. You're also funded to put in hedges in targeted areas, you know, where there is overland flow, or put in earthen bunds. There's a variety of measures. I think there's about 41 measures in total, Jim, that farmers can avail of.
Right, okay. And that's just open. Does it have a closing date?
No, it's a rolling closing date, so people can apply. And the way we're working it is we're going back to the farmers that we visited with, say, under cycle one of ASIP.
Right.
And any new visits, we're offering it to those farmers as well.
Okay. So that's that. So anybody interested should make contact with you in the NINA office, I presume.
Yep, that's it, exactly.
Okay. Now, there's a big, long word that we're hearing quite a bit about lately, and that's hydromorphology. Will you, for God's sake, tell me what that means?
I will. I suppose it's an awful word, really, as it's not very descriptive.
Right.
But really what we're talking about in terms of hydromorphology is the physical habitat conditions that support healthy life in a river. And I suppose hydromorphology can be damaged by a successive series of draining, dredging, straightening of a river or removal of meanders and clearance of those riparian zones. So that's really what hydromorphology is.
Is there much damage being done to rivers? You know, I thought it's virtually impossible now to dredge a river. It's definitely probably impossible to take corners off. So there wouldn't be much happening in that area, would there?
I suppose currently no, but the problem with hydromorphology is, like, even if it was done 40, 50 years ago, it still have an impact.
All right.
Okay? So there's about 400 rivers across the country that have hydromorphology categorised as a pressure by the EPA. And within that, then, you have a number of subcategories, such as your flood protections, or it could be, you know, trying to reclaim land to make it productive agricultural land. And these are all categorized separately then in terms of pressures. It's not included in the agricultural pressures that the EPA report on. So those agricultural pressures are really only associated with nutrients or sediment losses.
Okay, can I ask you one question before I let you go this morning, Claire? And that is... I'd say a lot of farmers don't understand how they can clean particularly drains or rivers that are flowing through their farms, because rivers, by their very nature, all kinds of vegetation will eventually grow, whether that's the banks closing in or in the case of a drain going through, an open drain going through a farm, okay, the sediment builds up and the drain nearly fills up. What can a farmer do?
I suppose the main thing, there's a couple of points on it, Jim. I suppose any maintenance to surface water drains should only be carried out between the months of July and September.
Right.
And then fish and their spawning grounds are protected under that Fisheries Act. So really you shouldn't be carrying out any works on rivers or drains without prior approval of inland fisheries. Okay.
Right.
When you are cleaning the drains, then it's recommended that you only do one side of the drain at any one time, and you leave the other bank, we'll say, undisturbed. Then when you are cleaning them as well, you shouldn't be over cleaning them, and try and retain as much vegetation as you can, you know, and only removing material from the bottom of the drain. And only, I suppose, clean the lengths where the flow is impeded, rather than, you know, cleaning the whole stretch of river. It's really only the areas that are impeded, and try and leave as much of the stone and gravel in place as you can, because really that's, you know, where these fish and that spawn. And I suppose the other thing is to make sure that the bank is sloped afterwards to prevent collapse, because any of those unstable banks that are left, it will increase sediment and nutrient losses to the watercourse. But I can't overstress the importance of getting prior approval from fisheries before you do any work.
Okay, look, thanks for that advice, and I'm quite sure the farmers listening to this programme this morning will be glad of that piece of information and that warning to make certain sure they contact inland fisheries. Well, look, Claire, as always, thanks very much for joining us this morning. That listener was Claire Mooney, who is an ASOP advisor with Chagas, and Claire is in the NINA office, and if you need
listeners,
any advice
it's that
with
time
regard
of
to
the year again when
or anything that
the
we spoke
FBD
about this morning,
National Hall of
Claire.
Fame Awards are taking place,
and they are taking place tomorrow, Sunday. And with me to talk about them and to tell us a little bit more about the awards, I have Michael Flanagan, and Michael has been with me for the past couple of years telling me all the good work that they are doing. Good morning, Michael, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, Jim. Wasn't that a very fast 12 months? But we are here to tell the tale.
Right, it was a very fast 12 months. You know, when you rang me, I was rather surprised that I was 12 months older. But anyway, last year's event went off extremely well, I presume.
It was excellent, actually. And this year, it's our 20th year celebrating those fabulous people from the bovine, equine and ovine industry. This year we have 11 nominees from the bovine section. We have 9 from the ovine section and 2 from the equine section. And then we present a Farmer's Oscar Award, and that's going to a Seamus Dunn from Port Leash for his innovative new technology invention, the Crushmate. Mm-hmm. And our good friend, the legendary racehorse trainer from Carlo, Willie Mullins, we're presenting Willie with a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Well, given his achievement, particularly in the last 12 months with regard to national hunt racing, and becoming the first person since Vincent O'Brien to be the leading trainer in the UK, it's very fitting that you're doing that for Willie.
It is indeed, and no better man deserves it, because apart from anything else, the Lifetime Achievement Award, it's acknowledging people that are giving back to the Irish community, especially in the agri section, mm-hmm. the employment they give and the how good they are for the Irish economy. Willie is probably unique he's the only Irish man in the last 70 years. Your own county man, Vincent O'Brien, was the last man to win a British jumps title. And Willie has achieved that now. And it was very fitting that his son would have ridden the champion, his 100th winner in the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Yeah, now we'd
that
love
was another
to,
big moment.
Michael, sorry for cutting across on you there, but we'd love to claim Vincent O'Brien as a Tipperary man. Unfortunately, he was a Cork man who came to live in Tipperary, but he brought a lot of fame and honour to County Tipperary when he was training in Ballydoyle.
Well, he did indeed, and there's another man there doing an equally good job for the Tipperary people as well.
That's right.
So I think, Jim, we'll have in the region of 400 guests attending on Sunday night, and we'll have the musical entertainment by the one and only T.R. Dallas. So hopefully, actually we have a few recipients from your radio listenership area. In the Angus, we have Joe Morn from Gore's Bridge. In the Hereford, we have John Johnston from Toomey Vara. Slayers would be Seamus Nagel from Doolin. And the Shorthorn recipient is Pat Hare from Ina in County Clare.
So you have two Clare people there.
We have, yeah.
Right, okay. So I'm quite sure they'll be looking forward to doing very well, the Clare people, when everything is announced on Sunday night, as you really don't, you only one Tipperary man there. And
yes,
the other person was from where?
Joe Morden is from Gore's Bridge.
Gore's
just,
Bridge,
just outside
down in.
Your, yeah.
Down in. That's Wexford, isn't it?
No, Kilkenny.
Kilkenny, Wexford, they're very close to each other anyway.
Not too far apart, far now, apart, exactly, yeah.
And looking then, going back to the entries, the largest entry is in the...
It's in the bovine section, where we have 11 recipients.
Right. Right, 11, and they're coming from the whole island of Ireland. I presume there's some from Northern Ireland.
Between the bovine, ovine and equine, Jim, there's 19 counties represented.
Very good. That's excellent. And you have been then fortunate enough to be able to retain FBD as your sponsors.
Well, believe it or not, FBD has just become our title sponsor.
Yeah.
Which hopefully assures the continuation of the event. And this year, you probably have heard of Herdwatch.
I have.
From Ross Gray. Fabian is coming on board to sponsor the ovine section, or the bovine section.
Yeah.
And which is very appropriate for Herdwatch and Flockwatch. And then we have Keepack. Our good friends in Keepack are sponsoring the ovine section. So all in all, we should have a great night. And next year will be our 21st. So we hope to have a big occasion next year, 2025.
Okay, and this is on in the Heritage, is that correct?
In the Sheraton Hotel in Athlone.
Oh, the Sheraton in Athlone. I'm getting mixed up. There's another event coming up. Yeah, sorry. The Sheraton in Athlone. Do you always have it in Athlone, Michael?
Well, we started off 20 years ago in a place called the Shamrock Lodge.
I remember it. Go on. Yeah.
Yeah. A lovely hotel.
It's still there.
Yeah, and doing very well.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it got too small. I was trying to get the proprietor, Paddy McCall, to extend, but he said he was big enough and he's doing well enough. So we had to move to the Sheraton, and they can just accommodate around the 400 mark comfortably.
Right. Okay. Anything else now that you'd like to mention before I let you go?
Well, it's just, Jim, a special thank you to all our sponsors, including Arrivo Homeland and Certified Irish Angus. The managing director of that is Charles Smith from Virginia in Cavan. You know, as you know, Jim, without our sponsors, we wouldn't be going too far. So I would like to sincerely thank them, and hopefully they'll continue with us for the future.
Right, I'm quite sure they will, because it's a wonderful event, honouring people who have, for their excellence in what they do for Irish agriculture. So well done to yourself as well, and the organisation behind you. It is more than a one-man organisation, so you've got to take great credit to keep this thing going for the past 20 years, and I suppose we'll have balloons and everything flying this time next year.
If that's all that's flying, Jim, we'll be okay.
maybe that's so, Michael. Look, I want to wish you the very best of luck on tomorrow night, and let's hope there'll be a Tipperary winner and a Clare winner among the awards tomorrow night.
Thanks again, Jim, for your support.
That, listeners, was Michael Flanagan from the FBD National Hall of Fame Awards. Listeners, you may or you may not be aware that the school in Powledyne, that's McCarkey National School, they had a project running over the past 6 or 7 weeks with regard to farm safety. They teamed up with AgriAware, and over the period of time, the children
all of them, as I understand it at the moment anyway, and I'm quite sure my next guest will tell me whether I'm right or wrong, were involved in the project over those 6 weeks. And then it all culminated just over a week ago when AgriAware and some of the local farmers, etc., arrived in the school and a great day was had. So my guest is Anne-Marie Carl, who is the principal of Mycarkey National School. Good morning, Anne-Marie, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, Jim, and thanks for having me.
Okay, I'm quite sure I didn't make too many mistakes there, did I?
No, Jim, everything is perfect. Spot on there, okay. Everything you said.
Okay. I know now Mycarkey National School is a rural school in rural Tipperary, very much so. And so why did the school, Anne-Marie, get involved in a project like this?
Well, I suppose you really said it there, Jim, that we are a rural school in the heart of Tipperary. Agriculture will play a significant role in our community and in the daily lives of so many of our children. Even for those children who aren't maybe living on farms or directly involved in farming, that so many of them would still be going out to the countryside. They'd be going on play dates to friends' houses. There's fields close by. And just there are so many dangers. I'd be aware of them myself, living on a farm. I've three children here and our two eldest are two boys. So it wasn't easy when they were small and growing up and keeping them out of the farmyard, because children are like magnets. They're attracted to the machinery, and even in school, in the junior and senior infant classroom, there could be a tractor up the road and you're shambling across, and as it's getting near to the school, somebody would shout out that, oh, there's a John Deere or a New Holland. Mm-hmm. They're just so in tune with their machinery. So that has been one of, I suppose, the reasons that I wanted our school to take part in it, and for children to be aware of the importance of the dangers in their locality and around them when they're out in the countryside.
Of course. And then how did you come to make contact with AgriAware?
AgriAware actually would have contacted all of the primary schools. They sent out an email about their initiative where they were teaming up with the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine to bring this Safe Farms Futures program to primary schools. So we get in a lot of initiatives, I'm sure you can imagine, Jim, in primary schools. But this was one that straight away it struck a chord, and I just felt that it would benefit our children. And really, it's skills for life. It's not just for them now as their children, but when they grow up and if they're driving machinery or out for a walk, on a farm, visiting a farm, that they'll have so much more knowledge, and knowledge is the key to everything, really. So,
of course,
So we registered then with AgriAware, and we were delighted. Then we got lessons sent out to, would be sent to all the schools, and we just took it from there. Then, Jim.
Okay. And were all classes then involved in the school, from baby infants up to sixth class?
Yes, Jim, all from junior infants right up to sixth class. So our staff are so good that sometimes maybe it's only one or two classes that would sign up to something like this. But we decided we'd do the whole lot, like every child in the school experience the lessons and be exposed to them. And I'm sure that they'll benefit from them at some stage in their lives.
I'm sure they will.
It's a huge initiative for us. Yeah.
And I'm quite sure too that I'm giving away my age when I call them baby infants. You now call them junior infants.
Junior. They were baby infants when I started teaching as well, James. So
And then from your particular point of view, what was it like on last Friday week?
Jim, it was a great day for us as a school to have, well, very honoured and privileged to have AgriAware call to us. There was great excitement in the build-up to it. There was a great buzz in the school. The children were very excited, and the lessons that they have been doing over the number of weeks with their teachers in class, a lot of them, they took it so on board, they took it so seriously that they, of their own will, they were asking their teachers could they do projects. So they did projects on water safety, safety of electricity, safety in the countryside. And we had all of those displayed. Then the younger children would have done fabulous art, all inspired again by the Safe Farm Futures programme. And they were all put up on display on the windows. And we were delighted that as soon as Marcus O'Halloran, the director of AgriAware, the very first thing when he came in was he noticed all the beautiful artwork that the children had done, and he was amazed at that. So it involved so much of the community. We had a team from AgriAware. We had Robert O'Shea, a local contractor, who came with a tractor and fertilizer spreader. And we also had TGMR from IFA, and his brief is animal health. He's on the animal health committee of IFA.
Yeah.
So there were workshops then for the children throughout the day. So every child got to attend two workshops. One was given by TGMR, and they learned so much from that about slurry tanks, slurry pits, and the dangers of them, to even wearing gloves and how important it is to prevent infection by wearing the gloves. And it was all very visual, very hands-on, lots of safety gear there with them. And then the children just loved when they went out, of course, to Robert, and they all had a little high-vis jacket, which AgriAware brought on the day for them. So I was with the junior and senior infants in first class out of that, and Robert was just excellent as well. Going through the blind spots, he was asking the children, can you see me now? And standing at different areas around the tractor. So it just made it very real for the children. He showed them the PTO shaft, and he had the tractor on just ticking over, and the speed it was going at. And the children were amazed, and they were asking what would happen. One child asked what would happen if her daughter went in there. So Robert said, oh, it wouldn't last. It would be in ribbons in maybe 2 seconds. So it all had a very, it was so visual. It left a great impact, made a great impact on the children. Something as simple then as a watermelon. Robert and Ashley from AgriAware had a watermelon, had a few watermelons, and they passed them around to the children, and they were saying, can you squeeze them, squeeze them as hard as you can you squash them? So the children had great fun, and they were trying to squash them, but of course they couldn't. So then they all stood back from the tractor, and Robert placed the watermelon under the back wheel of the tractor and drove over it very slowly, and the children were just amazed and squealing when they saw the damage that the tractor did to the watermelon. So it was just bringing home the fact to them that how powerful a machine like a tractor is. Even though they love it, and they love going for spins on the tractors. Now, if they're 7, of course, it is a machine, and you have to be so safe around it. We also had then other guests. We had Michael Lowry, Jackie Cal, Sean Ryan, our local councillor, came as well. We'd members of our board of management. We also then had catering provided by our parents' council. We were a very hard-working parents' council in our school. And our staff were excellent. They rode in. Our children were fantastic on the day. We were so proud of them. And the feedback was very positive as well from AgriAware and Robert and TJ as well.
Yeah.
So it was a lovely day. Definitely a memorable day for the children. But it's no longer just the 3 hours, but something like this. It's skills for life for the children. So I think it was very important. And it has worked. It has been very valuable, because the feedback we've gotten from parents and from the children. Before we had our AgriAware visit, a mother met me one day in the yard, and she just said to me, the way it was great that the children were learning so much, that it was going home. They were bringing home the information. There's one, even her little boy in senior infants, was sitting at the table eating his dinner, and he turned to Daddy and said, Daddy, do you have a safety guard on the PTO shaft? And she said her husband just looked in amazement, like, where was all this after coming out of? So when you hear comments like that, Jim, it just goes to show that something is a success, and that it is working, and it's very valuable and worthwhile in doing.
Okay. Now, as a teacher, last question to you, Anne-Marie. What were the learning outcomes like?
In general with the children, Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they were very positive for us. There was such a variety of lessons. And I must say, for AgriWare, in the planning that was involved in them, they were so teacher-friendly that they weren't onerous, or the teacher didn't have to do a whole amount of planning with them. There was an introduction to farming. First, the lessons were divided into the junior end of the school and then corresponding lessons for the senior end of the school. But things, not even just on a farm, like safety or at a pedestrian crossing, the meaning of the red, green and amber and the lights. There was a variety of resources. They had webinars, activities, then even little games for the children. And safety in the countryside, like listening, keeping quiet in the countryside as well. So it was, there was a huge amount, and even listening in the countryside, linking in maybe with well-being and mindfulness, can they hear the birds out there and remembering to bring home their rubbish.
But so all in all, it was a worthwhile experience, and the children have got something for the rest of their lives to remember.
Yes, absolutely, they have. It was very, very worthwhile, and we're delighted that we did take part in the project and that we gave every child in the school the opportunity to get all this information and knowledge. Just even if it prevents one accident later in life, it's a success.
I'm quite sure it will. Now, I'm going to go and talk to some of the children that were involved. I want to thank you for allowing me to come out, call out to your school and have a chat with the children. Let's see what they have to say and what they learned.
Thank you very much, Jim. It was a pleasure talking to you, and we're delighted. You're very welcome to Baitarkey National School. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, I'm now, listeners, going to take a very short break, but when I come back, I will be talking to some of the children in Maitarkey National School out there in Pauldine. Listeners, having spoken there with Anne-Marie Carl from Pauldine School, I now have, I think, 13 of the children who participated in this wonderful project on farm safety over a six-week period, as I said at the beginning, and it all culminated a little over a week ago. And the youngest person I have here is Bobby. Bobby, what's your second name?
Bobby Shanahan.
Bobby Shanahan. Okay, Bobby. And what did you learn here about farm safety?
Don't go in a field when there's bulls in it.
Don't go into a field with bulls. And have you a bull at home?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you stay well away from the field that the bull is in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you wouldn't want to go into a house with a bull either, would you?
No.
No. That would even be worse than the field, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're very careful now when you're on your own farm that you watch out for all the things you learned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, Bobby, thanks very much for having a few words with us. Let me come to some people who don't live at all on a farm. And I have Grace. Grace, what's your second name?
Grace Butler.
Grace Butler. Okay. So you don't live on a farm?
No. Nope.
And did you find the 6 weeks that you were talking about farm safety and drawing pictures and all kinds of things over the 6 weeks, did you find it very helpful?
I did. Yeah. I learned a lot about the blind spots on tractors and how to be safe on the farm, that you should always wear high vises and all that kind of stuff, and how to be safe on the farm, really.
Right, okay. And you would also, because you have friends here that have farms, and you'd be invited to their houses, so would you be now more aware of what is on the farm than you were before you started this?
Definitely. I'm more aware of gates and signs and being visible.
Yeah.
It's really, I'm really happy that we got to do it.
Okay. Let me come to you, Ronan. You don't have a farm either. So, what did you, Ronan, what's your second name?
Fenley.
Fenley, okay. And what did you learn?
I learned that if you see a sign, you should always check what it means with the farmer and ask the farmer, can you go into the field? And that if the farmer says no, you just go with the farmer's decision. You never go in anyway. And if you see a bull in the field, don't go in. And for the tips for a farmer, that if you have a bull, you should always have a ring on it for getting it, for moving the bull.
Okay, very good, very, very good. Let me come to you, Dale. You have a farm at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of a farm is it, Adele? And what's your second name, by the way?
My name is Adele Corcoran.
Corcoran, right, okay, Adele. Adele.
I learned over the last 6 weeks that you should never approach an animal from the behind. You should always approach it from the front, and that you should always shut gates because it could end up in a big accident. But, yeah, you should always be aware around cows and calves and bulls especially, and machinery as well.
Mm-hmm. Harry, what's your second name, Harry?
Born.
Is it? Yeah, okay. Okay, Harry, what's the most dangerous thing on a farm? You live on a farm.
Tractor.
The tractor.
And the bull.
A tractor and the bull. And I presume you have a tractor at home. And what age are you?
7.
So you can sit on the seat in the tractor, can you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And is there a seat in your tractor?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And do you sit on it much? Do you like going out with Daddy and driving the tractor with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what kind of work do you do with Daddy and the tractor?
Feeding cows.
Feeding the cows. Okay. And of course, now the cows are nearly all out on grass, are they?
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it? Okay, Priya. You live on a farm as well. So, what do you think is the most dangerous thing on the farm?
Big machinery.
Machinery. Why is machinery so dangerous? The others have said machinery is dangerous. Why is machinery so dangerous?
Because there's lots of blind spots where the farmer can't really see you.
Okay, we've heard a lot about blind spots. So where are the blind spots on a big tractor?
If there's, like, a thing that they're spreading out stuff on the field, they can't really see if they're looking back at the front of the tractor and maybe at the side sometimes.
What's your second name?
McCormick,
right? McCormick, okay. Okay. Dan, what's your second name?
Carney.
Come up here near me, please. I can't hear you. Dan Carney?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good McCarkey name anyway. Okay, you've got a farm at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And tell me this. Before you had the 6 weeks, did you know everything that you should have known about a farm, or did you learn quite a lot that you didn't know about safety on the farm?
I learned quite a lot about safety on the farm.
Did you?
Yeah.
So can you tell me one thing that you didn't know was dangerous when you were at home and before you did this, Dan?
I didn't know how dangerous slurry pits were.
How dangerous what?
Slurry pits are.
Slurry pits, thank you very much. Mm. The first time a slurry pit came in. Slurry pits can be very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when particularly are they dangerous?
When they're spreading slurry and they have them open.
They have them open, good, yeah. That's good. And also when they're agitating it, you have the dangerous gases, haven't you?
Yeah.
So you keep well away from somebody agitating slurry.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And Ina, come up here close to me, please. What's your second name?
Burke.
Burke, okay. What did you learn? Now you're on a farm as well. Did you learn anything that you... didn't know about?
That gates are very dangerous.
Yeah. No. Okay. Why then do you think gates are very dangerous?
Because you shouldn't climb them, and if you fall off them, you could get seriously injured. You could break your back or hurt yourself.
Right. Now, and of course, a lot of farmers don't have gates hanging properly as well.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure they're all hanging properly on your farm, but I'm saying that you walk onto some other farmers thing and they have a gate tied up with pieces of twine and a rope. So that's another reason why you shouldn't climb a gate.
Yeah, they're very not strong enough to hold you.
Now, we already heard that you can get diseases off geats. Diseases like what? That geats carry infection?
I'm not quite sure which disease carry, but they could make you very sick.
Oh, okay.
So you make sure you wash your hands after coming in off the farm.
Okay. Are you the only one I haven't spoken to? Mary, are you?
Sean as well.
Oh, Sean. We'll get to Sean in a minute. Okay. Mary, you're not on a farm either. So if I was to ask you now, you're walking onto a farm tomorrow morning, what would you be looking for?
To make sure that there's no signs telling you can't go into a place.
Yeah.
And also don't climb on hay bales because they could roll or you could get stuck between them. And that if there has to be a seat in a tractor and you have to be over 7 so you can travel in a tractor.
Right. So you can travel in a tractor, you're over 7.
Yeah.
That's very good. Sean, we leave you now the last word. What did you... By the way, Mary, what's your second name?
Mary Cummins.
Mary Cummins. Okay, thanks, Mary. Sean, what's your second name?
Casey.
Casey. Okay. And do you think what you learned, this is a very difficult question for you now, Sean, do you think all that you learned here was very useful for yourself and for all the other children here in the school?
Yeah, I think it was good. It's just like a reason to teach people if they want to be something when they grow up. I think it's good.
Mm. And was it a little bit easier and better and more fun than learning maths and Irish and English and geography and all the other things that you learn in school?
Yeah.
Do you think you should be doing that kind of thing every day?
Yeah.
Rightio. And what age are you?
8.
So you can sit on the tractor as well. And do you sit on the tractor? Some of the time.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Okay. Just to the whole lot of particularly the girls that are living on a farm, would you like to be the farmer? No. No.
No, not really.
Do you girls know that we are looking for young girls like yourselves to become the farmers of the future, not leaving it all to the boys? Do you know that?
No.
No? Well, we are. And there's not enough of young ladies and women in Irish agriculture, and we need them very badly. But look, I'm running out of time, but I want to thank you all very much, and I'm glad you learned so much. And be certain sure, and it's very, very important, that if you see something wrong on any farm that you walk into, that you tap the old farmer on the shoulder, like I'm tapping Grace here, and tell him, I think that's a danger to anybody walking onto the farm. We don't want to see anybody else killed or injured on Irish farms. Okay? Thanks, Emil. Well done, Paul Dine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That, listeners, is AgriPort for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join me at the same time next week. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock, and after that, Eamon Dwyer presents Down Your Way.